that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow,
drop the headset there. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Here it is, the first Saturday morning. Saturday, January 3rd, 2015. We welcome you joining us live this... Oh, it's still dark out here at the Radio Ranch, and it's a cold morning, but that's how it is. It's wintertime. It's supposed to be cold. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And welcome this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we're glad you guys could join us this morning, and we thank you, the Remnant, for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, but as we get on with this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and but we'll ask John if he'll open us up in prayer first, if you would do that, John.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly this morning. Lord, grateful for all the many blessings that you've given us through the year 2014, and we just ask for grace and mercy in this upcoming year of our Lord, 2015.
Yes.
We acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and God of Gods. Lord, we come to you in prayer through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayers. We ask this morning that when two or more are gathered, then you're there also. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. We ask that you would guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding, the wisdom of Solomon, Lord, Solomon's greatest gift. We ask in this year that you grant us a special anointing, all those who seek to do your will. And Lord, that your will would be done in everything that is put forth from this ministry, whether it be over the air or in writing, in speech, whatever. Lord, we do pray for those best gifts. Pray that you would manifest those gifts in us, and that they would do good for your people. That they'd be good fruits, Lord. Pray for your blessings on this meeting this morning. Pray that you would just convict your people, the remnant, to call in on things that are concerning them. And Lord, we thank you for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, it's a new year, calendar year anyway, and I think most people out there realize that we also try to get a calendar out and let people know of the solar year calendar we have on the wall right now. Is they call it the Gregorian calendar. We understand the biblical new year starts at the spring equinox in about the middle of March. But been hearing a lot of Happy New Years around, just around town, and people calling on the phone. And, you know, the world goes, they put a lot into these New Year's resolutions. You know, people are going to stop smoking or stop smoking so much or stop drinking so much or start going to the gym and all these different New Year's resolutions. We want to challenge you, the remnant, to a good New Year's resolution. And that is to read your Bible this year. The first of the year, start of January, is a good time to start developing some good habits. Whether it's making sure that you are in prayer to our Heavenly Father, that you do pray daily, that you pray on the full armor of God each day, that you pray the Lord's Prayer, that you pray for you and your family and for the saints as well, as the Ephesians 6 tells us. But in 1 Timothy, we're told to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. For godliness is profitable in all things. And one of the ways we can do that is to read the Word. We put together a 2015 Bible reading plan, and it's posted at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. The January calendar is. And we'll be mailing it out the first of the year also, here about the middle of the month, with the Volume 1 Dragon Slayer newsletter. So we encourage you to keep your eyes open for that. But until then, go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can take a look at the calendar there. It's not a very hard calendar to follow. It started on Thursday, reading Genesis 1 through 3. Hopefully yesterday you got through Genesis 4 through 7, and today Genesis 8 through 11. And so even if you haven't got it done yet, you're only talking a few pages in your Bible to read to get caught up. And we encourage you to do that. This is another tool, another weapon for us to use in the spiritual battle that we're in, to help us to draw nearer to God, to help remind us of what His Word says, and it's a good thing to do, to read your Bible. So we encourage you to do it. And we've got this January Bible reading plan. We did email it out to all the people on our email list, the prayer chain and the newsletter list and whatnot, to help some of those people get started. If you'd like the January plan, you can contact us and we'll email that to you. Got it in just a little single-page PDF, so it's real easy to read. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And if you'd like the January Bible reading plan, just drop us an email and we'll sure send it out to you. So, well, guys, just wanted to kind of get that out to remind the remnant along those lines. And you know, this ministry's put out many weapons over the years. to help the remnant, to help in this battle. Imprecatory prayer is a powerful weapon that our pastor taught on and put out and continues to go out. The songbooks. We have 5 circuit riding preacher songbooks. And, you know, we've learned the importance of song and in praising our Lord. And so it's weapons that go out. The prayer filter, the prayer amplifier, the anointing oil. There's too many to go through them all here on this broadcast. But the Bible reading plan is that. It is another weapon. It's another tool that we can have in our arsenal that will help us in our daily walk of faith and help us in the spiritual battle that we're in.
Yeah, not only the remnant. I mean, you can send that out to your Judeo-Christian friends as well. I send it out to a bunch of them. And I was kind of surprised by the response. Many of them had never even thought about reading their Bible in a year and never knew there was such a plan, and thanked me profusely and said that they were going to do that. They were going to finally read the Bible. So hold them accountable, too. Hold yourself accountable. That's what I'm trying to do. Last year I started out gangbusters, you know, right on schedule and everything, and one day slips and then 3 days slip, and before you know it, it's a week, and then it's shot. So I think one of the most important things that I'm going to try to do this year is to pick a time of the day to spend with God and in prayer and reading the verses for the day. And to me, it's going to have to be in the morning, I think, because too many things change during the day, and if you start your day out that way, I think that's probably the best way. So it'll mean getting up a little earlier, but I think it's that important that we need to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and there's actually, for those smartphone users out there, there's a lot of apps out there that work great for Bible reading programs. They have a lot of different programs. You can read it in a year. You can read it, and you can set up your verses on when you want to read them, how you want to read them, the version that you want to read them. And the neat thing about that is I like it. I've been using that one on my phone for a couple of years, and the one that I like is just called Holy Bible. And Holy Bible's got I think they've got about 15 different reading plans, but you can click on the one that's, you know, read the Bible in a year. You set it up, and then you can also set the time where you want it to pop up and give you an alarm. And as what happens is, you know, you set a chime to it or however you want to do it, but the alarm goes off and it says, okay, your scriptures for the day are this, and these are it, and you can click the button and you can read it right there on your phone. And it's actually, I think it really helped me, and I think it really helps a lot of people because, you know, it's that constant, it reminds you too. You know, just the busy life that we're in today, it's, you know, everything else is on your phone. Why not the Bible? And it's actually, it's really there, and it's a really powerful tool. It's kind of neat because you get your Bible there all the time. You can, on this Holy Bible app, free app, really, it's pretty awesome because you can set you can put in the database versions that you like. Which I've got New American Standard in there, King James Version in there. I think they just came out with the Geneva Bible. One of them did, and I can't remember if it was them or not. And, you know, then you can toggle back and forth between the different versions. It's got an online concordance or a built-in concordance right in there, so you don't know what a word means, you can click on it. Got the built-in concordance. I mean, it's a pretty powerful for being on a phone and for being a free download. I mean, I've seen Bible softwares that cost, you know, $500-$600 that don't do as much as some of these apps do. So, you know, anybody that's interested in that, I would really encourage them, if they got a smartphone, to get something like that. I've got 3 or 4 of them on my phone, and the Holy Bible one I really like. Olive Tree is all right. Some of the stuff you do have to pay for on that, but it's not very expensive. And even YouVersion's got some pretty good stuff for free on there too. So I would check that out because I think it would really help people out.
Great, and that's called the Holy Bible app?
Yes. Yeah, just go to the App Store, either, and it's on Android. I've had it on Android and on Apple. Holy Bible, just search Holy Bible, and it's just got a, it's kind of an old-fashioned looking logo on there, golden, almost a maroon Bible, and it looks like the color of a Bible, and it's just a little image of a Bible, and just, yeah, download that one. I think that one's a really, really good one. The neat thing about it, too, is then, you know, there's people that, you know, I don't do any social media or anything like that, but for the people that use Facebook and different stuff like that, it's got the share button, so you can, every day when your daily scripture is up there, when you're done doing it, you can share it, and you can share it with all that, you can share it with friends, and I thought that was a neat addition that they just added this year. You know, everybody's sharing everything else, why not share the Word of God? So, encourage people to do that.
Amen.
Yep, any tool that helps you, that's for sure. And we encourage you to get this Bible reading plan if you have to get just the January, and you know, highlight it once you read the day. If you have to do a couple of them, you know, read them and highlight them, and it's you know, we're to be a praying people, but we're also to be a Bible reading people. You know, Jason, that quote from Horace Greeley comes back up that says it's impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. And so, you know, if you don't want to be enslaved, that's one of the things you can do, is read your Word. And if you will, you might say, oh, well, I've read the Bible before. I know the Bible. You just might find something in there that maybe you missed the first time, you know, or the second time you read through.
Because it's the living Word, you mean? And
yeah.
It'll never stop giving?
Absolutely. You know, as we grow, as we get older, as we have more life experiences, hopefully get a little more understanding, so that then when we read the Word, you can see something. You know, when I you go back in Genesis, it talks about the creation, of course. And at the end of each day, it says there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Now, you know, we think in the society we live in today that we would say, well, wait a minute, there's morning and then there's evening. But that's not what the Word says. And you go back into different translations, and it's not mistranslated. It's not wrong. It says that there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And, you know, that ties right in with the solar calendar that our pastor researched and that we've put out. And it ties in with the 91st days, and it ties in with the day beginning at noon. And it to me, it's just a second witness to that very thing. And anyway, just a little gem that, you know, that you will see if you'll do that. If you go back and read the Word.
Remember, too, that it was the Founding Fathers that said that the Constitution was only for a Bible-believing and moral people.
Yes. And we see today... so many people that they scream for the Constitution, back to the Constitution, back to the Constitution. And they got to get out of their sin first for that Constitution to have any application whatsoever. And that's why the government, and there's no respect or honor for the Constitution today in the ruling parties, because it's not a moral people. I'm sorry, Jason?
And it didn't work, you know. I think people fail to realize that, you know, every mess that we're in and we've gotten into under the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, they misinterpret it, you know, any way that they want to. It's, what was it, Amendment 14 or whatever that they're using for these federal appeals courts to to overrule DOMA, the defense.
Oh yeah, well they have constantly.
But it's somewhat refreshing too. We got to remember though, just here several weeks ago, that that sixth appeals court upheld the gay marriage ban, and I was reading that just this morning. That Judge Sutton, he's someone that I believe we should probably lift up in prayer. But he basically said that the court has no right to make the decisions that affect millions of people.
That's
never the way that the court system was founded. And what they should be doing is interpreting the Constitution biblically, and not enacting their own will on the people. So that was somewhat refreshing.
I think it comes back to that Horace Greeley quote. You know, you cannot enslave a Bible-reading people. You know, the Bible tells us that my people, his people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's truly the, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And our enemy understands that, and that's why they've done everything they can to replace reading the Bible, to take the Bible out of the home, take the children out of the home, take the wife out of the home, separate the family, and remove Bible reading from it.
Well, yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, you have the communists who understand their Bible, and they understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And in communism, there is no liberty. And as they continue to try to remove God from everything, there won't be liberty.
Yeah.
This is interesting that the third point that Judge Sutton made, and this is a quote, "A dose of humility makes us hesitant to condemn an unconstitutionally irrational view of marriage shared not long ago by every society in the world, shared by most, if not all, of our ancestors, and shared still today by a significant number of the states and other people." That's just good to see someone in a position of authority, at least worldly, taking a stance that no doubt will have consequences. If there's a way, if they have any dirt on him, if there's a way to get him to turn his mind, then we'll see. But you can tell that these judges, just like the book Dad wrote years ago, Whores Galore in America, is coming to pass.
Yes. It is where we are today as a people.
Yeah, it was interesting this week, too. I mean, just to see how things were changing. Did anybody notice what the national debt did on the last day of the year this year?
Probably creeped over $18 trillion, I imagine.
Yeah, it did. It rose by $32 billion on the last day of November, sending the total U.S. debt above $18 trillion for the first time ever. As we further noted, it has also meant that the total U.S. debt has increased by 70% under Obama, from $10.625 trillion on January 21st to $18.005 trillion as of yesterday. 70% increase in debt.
And you know what? That increase in debt did nothing for the middle class, or even specifically the middle class. All it did was enable those who do not want to work.
Yep.
And promote their agenda.
Those that don't want to work and those that won't work.
Yes.
Yeah. And it helped them move closer and closer to their 1984 Big Brother world, because they've used a lot of that.
1984 and Agenda 21.
Yeah, exactly. They've used that money against the American people. But dumb sheep Can't see it. So what were you saying
about... $10 trillion, not to say that that's not a lot of money, but, talk about an enslavement process. It's just, it's obvious when you look at, a 70% increase in debt. People think about that if, like, for what they owe on their vehicle or what they owe on their car. If all of a sudden, they owe 70% more than they owed before, it's astronomical. It for that short a period of time, it's enslavement. It's a form of bondage right there, an economic bondage. It was just in the last several years, since 2009, was dumped on the American people.
Well, it's Deuteronomy 28 being fulfilled.
Yep.
The head will become the tail, and the lender will become the borrower. So that's us. Greatest debtor nation in the history of the world.
And if people would read their Bible, they would realize that. And then it's something that they can go to their local commissioner or their local representative and their senators, and then they can go to these judges. But when you have a multicultural society, every God, when the first commandment is violated daily in our society, to have no gods before him. These other gods, they have to have their place as well, is how our society looks at it today. And that's why it comes down to until there is repentance, until there's, the people realize that this we the people is wrong in the sight of God. And, until we as his people repent and turn back to him and have his law in the land, well, it'll continue like this. It'll just get, and it'll continue to get worse in the land and for the people. Now, I firmly believe that individuals, whether it's just a single person or a family, you can come out of that. If you return to God, you can have a little bit of his kingdom right there in your home, in your life. We see that. But what works for personal salvation will work for national salvation. But the personal certainly has to come first.
Amen.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that the other day. If everybody would live their life like their life affected not just them. We've got it in so many areas is just a selfish people, because they don't think that their actions are going to affect anybody else, and they've got it made up in their mind that everybody. It's portrayed from the churches to everything that people are taught is your decisions affect you. But they don't teach people that your affections don't just affect you, but they affect your family. And, if everybody lived their life like the decisions that they made didn't only affect them, but they affected the ones that were around them, it affected their family, it affected not only their children, but their children's children, and would think about that at some of these times, I think that would really help straighten people out. Because it's a humbling thought.
Yeah, it's called responsibility. Taking responsibility for your actions. Not only your actions, but your thoughts. Because your thoughts lead to actions. That would certainly work. And you see that when people come out of the world, when they humble themselves and repent and get baptized, and then turn away from the world and try to lead a godly life, a sanctified life, you see that all of a sudden, and you can see that change in people. They realize that, hey, what I say affects people, good or bad. The tone of voice I use affects people, especially in the family, good or bad. How I am in the workplace, how I am all the time, the things I do, affect other people. And you need to be responsible for your actions.
Love thy brother as thyself.
You know, it's told us, I think, three or four times in the New Testament when they would come to Christ. And the story's told time and time again. And, you know, what are the greatest commandments? And he said, love God and love your neighbors yourself. And everything else hinges on that. Because if you love God, you'll read his word, you'll obey his word, you'll apply his word, you'll discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, as 1 Timothy 4 tells us. And you love your neighbors yourself. Well, if you love your neighbors yourself, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to covet his wife. You're not going to slander him. You're going to watch after his goods like they were your own. You know, the instructions are there. You can, you know, you begin to feel the frustration that our pastor felt, that here it is, it's as simple as this. Now, it's not that you just flip a switch and then all of a sudden you can do all these things. And that's where that daily fight of faith comes in, you know. That daily fight of faith has to be 90% of what we choose to do. We just have to choose to do the right thing. You know, I've seen that before, right. Seen it for years. You know, they say life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And I think that...
all goes back to morality.
That's it. It is. Yep. And being responsible for your actions. And none of that is put out today, you know. You get somebody that commits murder out there, it's not his fault, it's society's fault. You know, because of where he was raised or what happened to his mama or, you know, whatever it may be. But it's never his fault. There's so little responsibility out there. And like you said, John, so little morality. They certainly go hand in hand. But see, that's our culture. That's how we are supposed to be. We are to be, as you said earlier, John, you know, that Constitution is only good for a moral people. Well, that's one reason, like you said, Jason, it doesn't work, because it's not a moral people that it's applied to.
Yeah.
But there's hope. You know, there's the good news of the gospel is that, you know, God himself said he doesn't desire any to perish, but for them to come to repentance. And so I read into that just like the Horace Greeley quote, you know, if you can't enslave a Bible reading people, you can enslave a people that will not read their Bible. You can enslave them, and we see that all around us today. And so when God says that he doesn't want even the wicked to perish, but for all to come to repentance, well, guess what? If you don't come to repentance, you will perish. It's as simple as that.
Amen. What'd you say was going on in New York, Jason?
Well, it's been pretty interesting because the New York Police Department over there, well, basically they're upset because they haven't got the support that they think that they need, especially after those officers were killed out there. So they're having this, basically this contest between the officials and the people not supporting him. And they decided that they were not going to respond to calls. They were not going to do the arrests that they've been doing. Basically made it up in their mind that they're working too hard and they ain't going to do it anymore. What it boils down to. And is what we did see is we saw a decrease in low-level policing with overall arrests down 66%. We also saw on the traffic citation end of things where traffic violations fell by 94%. And that basically took it from, and this was the last, I believe it was the last 2 weeks in December. It might have been 2.5 weeks. I'm not 100% positive because I've read some conflicting information there. So I'm not sure, but basically it was the last couple of weeks in December is when this started to take place. But, you know, you take, for instance, the traffic violations, they went from 10,069 to 587. They had they have a category of offense for public urination, public drinking. They call it a low-level offenses, and they fell not also fell 94%. Basically, they went from 4,831 arrests to 300 arrests. Parking violations fell 92%, and that was 14,699 to 1,241. Drug arrests were down from 382 down to 63. They just basically straight across the board, they dropped. And most of the categories that they have, they fell in the 90%. They just said that the only thing that they were arresting people for were for dangerous crimes where somebody else could have been hurt. And that's what they're, you know, they say that they're still arresting a burglary and robbery and, you know, people that are trying to kill other people. But, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, here we have this increase in national debt. We have this police department decides that, oh, they don't need to do their job. Now, you know, it's a catch-22, too, because, I mean, it is a traffic violation. It's speeding. Going down the interstate, if you're doing 75 and the speed limit's 70, you know, is there a crime? And a lot of these things that we're talking about is, are they really a crime against people? I guess the way to put it is, are they a sin? You know, at the same time, it's like you look at it and it's like, okay, they're not doing their jobs, but everything's functioning fine. Couldn't find anything that said that there was any anarchy. There's enough police that there are still people are, they're not having, you know, mass murders. They're not having mass robberies. They're not having, you know, any more than normal as far as crime statistics go. They're just having less arrests on it.
That might work for a little while, but when the accounting department catches up with that, you know,
exactly.
If it takes a month or two and the revenue's down, things will change. Things will change.
Exactly.
And, you know, Jason, you mentioned about, you know, is it a sin, you know, like for speeding? And no, I don't think it is. You know, it's certainly not. Not for responsible people. But, you know, we don't have laws set up in this nation. We don't arrest people or punish people for sinning. It's for breaking the law. And, you know, those are two very different things in today's society. You know, they have man's law set up. Go ahead, John.
It's certainly not a transgression of God's law.
No, no. Now, you know, if
and that's the thing is they've changed everything and done such a flip flop. Whereas people would like to, you know, they consider breaking man's law. They've replaced that with sin.
Right.
And, you know, it's people don't think, in modern society, they don't think anything about breaking God's law. They don't, but they do, but they'll think question more about breaking man's law than they will God's law.
Sure they will.
And that's when you got a problem in society.
And we have a problem in society today. You know, you'll get a $400 ticket, you get caught driving your vehicle without insurance. And there's very few people that will do that. But they won't think twice about, you know, GD in this or GD in that, and you're right, because they don't get hit in the pocketbook, and that seems to be the most important thing today to so many of our people. It'd be interesting if you had, but I don't know. But anyway, it comes back to that responsibility too. Is God puts the responsibility on each and every one of us, you know.
That's part of their plan, though. Look at what they've done. They've shifted the fear of God to the fear of man.
Yeah.
People don't fear God anymore, so they don't fear the consequences.
Yeah, it's so obvious that that's the way people think about things.
Right.
You know, but you think about how much money do you think that New York Police Department is getting, you know, when they are doing these, you know, 10,000 arrests versus the 587? You know, it doesn't take long. It's like, you know, there's two ways you can go about it. They're going to say, they can look at it and say, oh, we need the revenue, or, hey, we don't need you. Goes both ways.
Right.
I mean, who's going to want to, though? You know, it'll have to come to a halt real fast, because how many people see that everything goes on just fine, and what are they going to do when people say, okay, yeah, everything's fine, we don't need you, you know, get out of here. I mean, when we're talking about the biggest city in the United States, I think New York is still the biggest city in the United States, isn't it?
I don't know. I think so.
So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was really interesting. Really telling, though. I mean, first time that I've ever heard of something like that taking place, where they just basically, what they did is went on strike. I mean, the whole police department,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
went on strike.
They all came down with the blue flu, but they're just coming to work for it. And but you're right. Yeah. They from the news reports that I've seen, yeah, you've got the mayor's office, you know, on one side being political, and you've got the cop on the street that says, you know, so it's okay for these people to just shoot us, and, you know, there's no outrage. It's, oh, we're sorry it happened. You know, these are heroes that died, and that's about it. And so, yeah, they've, it's the breakdown, a further breakdown of society. It truly is.
They don't give them enough already. I mean, they got their psychological counseling they can go to if they need it, and I mean everything else. I mean, they're pretty much pampered anyway.
Along the lines of police, did you see what happened at the St. Louis Police Department on the 1st?
Uh-huh.
They basically got mobbed. There were several hundred, if not several thousand, people there, of course, protesting. And, you know, they're at the police department. They have a big steps up the front, and then, or big sets of doors, you know, double doors into like a foyer, and then other doors into the actual police department. And, these protesters basically just stormed the police department. And they were, the police weren't pulling weapons, and these weren't so much the street police as much. They were the, you know, the suits, and here they had hundreds of people trying to pour into the police department right there in the front. And they were yelling and screaming. And I saw a couple of the videos this past week. I think it happened on the 1st. And take a look at it if you get a chance to look. And it's now, you know, somebody earlier said, you know, maybe it was you, Jason, that, well, there's not anarchy going on in New York City. You know, no mass murders, no mass robbers. They're... you know, the arrests are down 94%, and, you know, the city's not falling apart. Well, look at this video of these people, and they weren't all black people storming this police department. And the media calls it a peaceful protest, you know, but the language they were using was not peaceful. And, you know, the way that they were pushing and shoving and trying to get inside, and who knows what they would have done if they could have gotten inside. It is anarchy. It is the term that came to my mind when I saw it. And
think about the greater effect, too, though, of the police department doing what they're doing. They can't let it happen, because it shows the people that the majority can change the way things are done. And if people figure that out, like the churches all stood on the fact that our pastor did, was that I don't need the state's permission to preach the gospel.
Right.
The Bible's given me that right. And they don't need their 501c3 in order to be tax exempt. And that battle's coming quickly, too, where they're going to have to decide, you know, who they're going to serve, Baal or God, regarding this gay marriage stuff. But that's what I see in this. They can't let this kind of stuff happen, just like what happened in Nevada. I mean, they did as everything they could to sweep that under the rug so fast that people would just totally forget about it. And, you know, most of them have. And that's why one of the protocols was to take over all the media, because they shove down their throat what they want the people to believe, and they hide whatever it is that may come out that doesn't go along with their agenda. And for the most part, the stupid sheep that watch the 5 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news, they believe what they see.
Right. Well, and when they had a lot of the Ferguson protests and the riots and that type of stuff, after the initial fighting and whatnot was going on, you'd see that very thing. I saw him interviewing, I think it was the St. Louis police chief, and it was a peaceful protest last night. That was the night that they attacked and killed the one white guy. They attacked three different white people, white couples, killed one in one night.
Didn't hear anything.
And the next day, the police chief says it was peaceful protests. And so, you're right. Those that are just the sheep that don't have the eyes to see or the ears to hear, just bah, they're just peaceful protests. So, I encourage you, if you can, Google that. Find that storming of the St. Louis Police Department happened on the 1st. There were several videos, and some black reporter for the Dispatch News or something, I don't know what, it was, got maced. And, you know, and he makes a big deal out of it, but he's in there right in the middle with all the protesters. He's one of the last ones to leave. He's blocking the door. You know, they're trying to get the door closed, the police are, and they're pushing these other people out of the way.
But then look at the other side of the coin. If they can get this civil unrest, if they can get the police where they won't do anything, they'll bring in the military, and they'll bring in the National Guard, and they'll enact martial law.
And they'll use
maybe their ultimate goal.
Right, and they'll use the same type of weapons that they've been given to these police departments for years to become militarized. That they, you know, they've created the problem, and then the left wing liberal powers that be come out and speak against it. But you're right; it's all part of their agenda.
Abomination said in 2008, if you go back and listen to some of his earliest speeches, that we need a civilian police force that has the same capability as the military. And there's part of your extra 70% in the national debt, too, by the way. Arming the police departments against the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that private police force
you talked
about.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to go with that. The question is that nobody's asking is, well, where'd this money go? Why did they have to spend another $32 billion? I mean, did anybody realize what they could do with $32 billion?
Yeah. Well, you look at just the money that they spent on this stupid abomination Obamacare, they could have bought health insurance for every one of the people that are supposedly uninsured for their life.
Yeah.
And then the budget
for
this year.
So where did the money go?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing, that it's like, okay, if the money is there and that's what you could do with the money and you didn't do that with it, where did it go? It vanished. I mean, there was, you know, billions and billions of dollars that were pumped into that thing that are gone. You know, they didn't buy computers. They didn't buy, you know, they didn't buy people insurance. They didn't buy people surgeries. They weren't paying for people's dental. What? You know, it went somewhere.
Yep, it was plundered is what it was. But it's all in the ultimate goal of crashing the economy to take down this United States, the true JERUSALEM. And the reason that it hasn't gone down yet is because God is a patient God, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But at some point, and that day's close, that day of salvation closes, and his wrath will come down upon the people. And the time is running short to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, be born again of the water and the Spirit, to die to your old life, to be clothed with Christ, washed in the blood, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and have your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you haven't done it yet, 2015 is a good year to do it.
Amen.
I'd say January.
January. The first week of January is a good time to do it.
Amen.
None of us are good.
And every one of us who has been washed in the blood ought to do everything we can to get people to see the truth.
Yes.
Not just the people in the remnant, but even those Judeo-Christians who are deceived. And, I mean, let's face it. Ezekiel 3:17 through 19 says, if you see someone living wickedly and you don't warn them to turn from their wicked ways, their blood is on you. But if you warn them to turn from their wicked ways and they don't, then their blood is on them. And that's what we have to realize. We have an obligation as a Christian. It's not just a title. It's an obligation, and with great reward comes great responsibility.
Right.
Let this be the year that we as Christians, the true followers of Jesus Christ, realize the fact that we have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the truth of the Bible. And if we don't, we'll be held accountable.
Yeah. And if we don't, who will?
Yep.
That's you know, you look at the Great Commission at the end of, what is it, Matthew 28, and then Mark, and then Luke, and we're told to do that. Go and preach the gospel. Spread the word to all.
Yep. The truth. Not the sugar-coated truth, the whole truth.
Right.
Not just the Jesus loves me, but the Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back this time, it's not with love. It's with a sickle. People would only realize that to fear God. I mean, if there's one thing that you'd say in a statement, I guess it would say, fear God.
Yeah. And if you read your word, you know, it says... it tells you to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Fear God.
It does.
I don't remember exactly where it's at.
Well, that's the duty of man. Fear God. You know?
Right.
Keep his commandments. Yeah. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This world has a worldly wisdom, but it's foolishness to God.
Yeah. A text I send out to, well, pretty much everybody on my phone list, but was to stand strong in the faith and basically realize that in this coming year, Jeremiah 11, for I know, or Jeremiah 29:11, excuse me, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And it's kind of astonishing, really, how many people who had never heard that verse before, and they're like, wow, that's such a powerful verse for the new year. And it just shows you that nobody's reading their Bibles. Yeah. Nobody's taking the time to try to memorize these scriptures that are important and be able to recite them. And so I hope, I know I'm going to do my best here to spend more time in the Word and to actually fulfill that commitment.
Get that Bible app on your phone. I think you'll like it. I think that might help you.
Yeah, I'll try that too. Anything you can do to help is a good step.
Amen. Amen. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's certainly part of it. And there's plenty of room for that this year. Well, Remnant, as we're wrapping down this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we certainly want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can come to church with us right there on your computer or on the shortwave, either way. But at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, join us for the live church service from the La Porte Church of Christ. At the website, if you go to scriptures4america.org, right there in the upper left-hand corner, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, click on the live video stream, and we'll be there. And that's our plan. Good Lord willing, we'll be there and be having church services, and we'll be streaming it out so we can share it with you, so that you can have the fellowship and the and the learning and the take part in the prayers and all that communion. We do there and communion, yes. And so we encourage you to do that. Join us. And for the live video stream, you can also, if you don't have a real good internet connection, you can just click on the audio stream there. You can, if you have that smartphone that you've heard us talking about a little bit earlier today, you can go to scripturesforamerica.org, and right on the front, you can do the same thing. Join the video stream, but with your iPhone. And that's a pretty handy thing as well. So we encourage
you. That phone number to call in, too. That phone number. I hear a lot of people using that lately because it comes in so.
Right. So yeah, if you want to call and hear the broadcast, maybe your shortwave isn't working just right at the time. I know the shortwave, we've been getting a lot of reception reports. It seems to be getting better. But there's times that it is pretty scratchy. But if you want to call in to listen, you can call 832-999-1792. That's 832-999-1792. You can call in and hear the broadcast. And I've used that several times at the house as well. And if you don't have good cell service to where you can get maybe the internet on the phone, the phone call will
I want to tell people, too, that that is not a toll-free number. So, you know, check your plan, too, because I did talk to somebody the other day that was under the impression that it was an 800 number and it was a toll-free number, and it's not. So, you know, it works great. A lot of people have plans where, you know, they have unlimited cell phone minutes or they have unlimited minutes on their landline. Works great for things like that, but you know, when you call up and you, if you've got a limited of, you know, 200 minutes on your cell phone or 300 minutes or something like that, you are going to incur charges for that as well. So, you know, keep that in mind when making the calls. You know, if you know, depending on what your plan, your phone, long distance phone plan is.
Huh. I thought for sure everything was unlimited these days, but
no, there's still some plans out there where you can get a certain number of minutes and certain number in calling areas, and
must be those prepaid ones.
You got to have the right cell phone plan, and you got to have the right plan of salvation. That's for sure. Well, thanks for joining us. Amen. We're out of time, guys. We'll see you at church tomorrow. Remnant, join us tomorrow for church, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central. Noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. Remember our address if you want to write. P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting.
be waiting at the end of our ride.